Welcome to Tamron Recipes, brought to you by Tamron USA and Skip Cohen University. And welcome to 2021. It's about time, I'd say. We bring on photographic artists as our creative chefs and discuss their amazing photographs as our favorite visually delicious dishes. The Tamron Kitchen is full of the greatest imaging cuisines and recipes in the industry, and we're looking forward to sharing those with you today. It's so important that we stay inspired as creatives, and we are all in this together, so let's get to the good stuff. I'm Shamira Young, and I'm joined by my co-chef and co-host, Skip Cohen. Skip!
Hey! Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! Man.
What a kick. I don't, you know, I'm always excited when a new year starts, but this year, I think like all of us, we're excited that last year ended.
Yes.
It's more like we're back to the glass being half full again instead of the view of the pessimists from last year. So this is great to be here. We have a fun show to kick off the new year today.
I'm excited to get to our guest. Do you want to do the honors?
Well, that's always my job, so I'm on it. We've got Nick Irwin in the house, and Nick is what I would call a landscape/fine art photographer. What's really fun about Nick's work is that because he's landscape and also ties in that fine art side with his images and calendars and other products like that, he's also in what I consider a pandemic perfect specialty. Short of a commercial photographer that does tabletop totally by themselves, this is relatively being outdoors, landscape, being outside, being able to be physically distant and maintain the appropriate health concerns and stay safe is perfect for outdoor and landscape photography. And it's fun because right now there are so many photographers, whether they're professional or amateur or part-time or full-time, doesn't make any difference, that right now are trying to figure out what can I shoot because my weddings have been postponed, portrait sessions have been somewhat restricted, and getting out with your camera is so important. And you said it a minute ago, Shamira, with the importance of staying creative. Mm. So Nick may be a part-time photographer, but he has a full-time love for the craft that I think he could match with anybody in this industry. So Nick, if I haven't screwed up something in technology this morning, welcome to Tamron Recipes.
It's an honor to be here.
Well, you picked up on the cue for your lips to move. So far, so good.
Oh, Nick, it is so cool to have you on the show. And on a personal note, I love that you're a fellow Michigander, because looking through your images, I'm seeing places that I recognize and places where I've made memories with my hubby, and your work is just beautiful. And it's hard to believe that you've been at this for such a relatively short amount of time. And I'd love for you to kind of get into that. Tell us about your background, how you got started, and how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Basically, the way that I got started was, as a lot of other people these days are, is taking photos with your phone. I'm on the road quite a bit with my regular job. I've been in sales for quite some time. And being in Michigan, as you just mentioned, there's a lot of beautiful spots. So occasionally I would swing off towards the lakeshore or by a lighthouse or wherever the case may be and snap a couple pictures with my phone. And then I'd put it on social media, and then people were like, hey, you know, what kind of camera do you use, or where did you take that? And finally, after a while, some people convinced me to go ahead and buy a camera. And then when I bought the camera, just a little bit over, 3 years ago now, this will be my fourth year, I started discovering what more you could do with an actual camera and the good lenses versus just a phone. So that's kind of how it all got started, and so far so good. I enjoy it and look forward to continuing.
Well, you've certainly made the most with that camera in your hands. And phones are great, and we've all been caught at times without a camera when we wish we had a real camera. And phones are fine. But then when you try and get into the detail or do anything with them, it's so disappointing and underwhelming sometimes that you really don't have what you wanted to have had you had a really decent camera and some great glass in front of it, which you're obviously doing with your choice on Tamron lenses. But where I want to go next, I want to talk a little bit about National Geographic. I mean, you've had the Sony and the Tamron lens in your hands, a couple of Tamron lenses, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. You've only had them in your hands for a few years. How did the connection come about with actually getting National Geographic using a couple of your images?
National Geographic got a hold of me because one of the guys that works at Pure Michigan asked them if he knew of any people that had some good Northern Lights shots. The reason being is they were doing a piece about the Northern Lights being visible in the Great Lakes region. And he had mentioned me because he had seen a few posts on Instagram. So he had mentioned it to me. He sent me a message. And just a couple of days later, I got a call from a guy at National Geographic, which is, of course, for someone fairly new in the industry, or anyone for that matter in the industry, I was kind of thrown aback to be talking to National Geographic. And they ended up wanting to purchase a couple of those images for the article. And so there in August, it was published, and it's pretty cool. It was a really neat thing for me to see that online. So that's kind of how that came about.
I know Shamira's got a question here, but I want to just dovetail on the one you just did, or piggyback, whatever the expression is. One of the things we've talked about with a lot of Tamron chefs is the importance of relationship building. The fact that somebody contacted somebody that knew your work a little bit. Do you want to comment on some of those relationships that you've been able to nurture early on like this? Because that's a huge payoff, to have one of your images published, two of your images published in a global publication like National Geographic.
Well, a part of that, I think, is just having quality content, quality images. Pure Michigan is a huge marketing firm, basically, and I've also worked with some other ones in the local area. And I always try and make connections with those people. I think that's just the way I am, is reaching out to people or having them reach out to you, but trying to keep in touch to a certain extent. Sometimes you know that they're looking at your work, and other times you really don't. So in this case, it was kind of a surprise, but Pure Michigan guys, apparently they kind of knew who I was because I post so often about Michigan because I live here, and I post on Instagram and Facebook pretty much every day, and so a lot of those are from here, and I've sort of become I guess a moderately known or a well-known Michigan photographer, and that's. I just think that building on those relationships, like you said, is a big thing. And sometimes for me, it's all been organic. My followers are all organic, and just keeping those relationships going is crucial to probably for future success, I would imagine. So, in fact, that's one of the reasons I was so happy that you guys reached out to me because with your affiliation with Tamron, such a great brand in the industry. And you guys are well known, and it was almost like getting that National Geographic call, getting that call from you. So definitely very exciting, and these things happening are wonderful.
Well, Nick, I would love to hear a bit more about the nitty-gritty of keeping in touch. You said that you make it a regular practice, and I think for a lot of photographers out there, we kind of hear that we should keep in touch, and it's easy to say, but how have you built that into your workflow? I mean, do you hashtag your photos a certain way when you put them on Instagram? Are you sending emails? Or how have you made it just a habit for you?
As far as Instagram, there's certain hashtags, especially for the Michigan pages. There's several big pages. I think that this state has a fair amount of photographers, and there's some big, we call them feature pages, I guess. But then when you kind of talk to some of the people that run them, just instant messaging, or occasionally I have met some of the people, some of the advertising or marketing firms in the area, I've actually met with the people. Once you start to do business with them, it becomes a little bit easier because a lot of times in the beginning, you don't know who the people behind the scenes really are. And so sometimes when they reach out to you, it's important to keep that kind of relationship. Just like in any kind of business, really, it's relationship selling. And I'm not even really seeing that for the selling part of it, but just kind of how I run my, it's just the way I am. I'm a people person, and I actually enjoy talking with people that are doing these types of things. So it makes it relatively easy for me to do that.
Well, I got to make an observation here. In the first call you and I had, and I was talking to you, and I said, we're probably going to talk about, how did you get started and give me a little bit of your background. You are the first person on this series who I've ever spoken to who actually asked me how I got started. And you caught me so off guard, but it does point out something you're talking about in terms of being in sales. That's one of those things you bring from your full-time job that goes everywhere with you. And it is that relationship ability to it, it's that relationship building and that ability to have a conversation with somebody. And right now in the pandemic, I mean, I laugh about it because I know I have friends that when they get a call from me, most of them will take the call. Most of them know that it's not going to be just a couple of minutes because Skip is stuck at home. It's in the pandemic, and he's going to want to talk. So I really I want to point that out because it was a great way to get to know who's talking to you. At the same time, I wanted to get to know who I was talking to. It was
Right.
good stuff. So on that relationship, if we keep going on that a step further, where did the relationship with Tamron come in?
I actually reached out to Tamron. I was interested in being an ambassador. I still am interested in doing more and more work with Tamron. And the reason why is because I switched to a full frame camera back in April or March of last year. I was shooting a crop sensor before. And when I was looking at lenses, I had heard through the grapevine or read somewhere that the Tamron lenses were good quality. The prices were a little bit less than some of the competition. So I figured I'd give it a shot. And I actually went downtown to Grand Rapids and did a couple long exposures with the glass hotel buildings. And when I came home and put them on the screen, I was absolutely blown away by the quality. With my first camera, I was almost exclusively shooting prime lenses. I'm kind of a stickler for clarity in my images. And when I got that Tamron 28 to 75, I was looking at it and I was like, this is just as good as the prime lenses that I had been using on my previous camera. So that instantly became my go-to lens. And it was also kind of fun because with the prime lenses, I think I learned a lot by not having that zoom feature. But once you learn how to use your camera without the zoom, having an actual zoom, you could kind of play around with it a little bit more. And I think that really helped out as far as me kind of changing the style and look of my photos to a certain extent, but just having, I guess, more options out there without switching lenses all the time.
Well, we're glad that relationship happened because without it, we probably wouldn't be talking to you now.
And I'm glad it happened as well, because so far everyone that I've talked with at Tamron's been awesome. It's a product that I wouldn't have reached out had I not been impressed with the image quality. Because if I'm going to be trying to work with someone, I want it to be a product that I can vouch for.
So one thing that I'm really picking up on, Nick, this is so cool because you're not afraid to put yourself out there. You love relationship building, and talking to you is just so easy. And it's funny because yesterday when you and I had our test call to make sure Skype was working well for us, you mentioned how you'll talk to anybody and how you love it and how it's what you do. And as Skip mentioned a few minutes ago, with your job in sales, it just seems to come so natural to you. And so I would love to hear how you find balance between your day job, because you do have a day job, and your life as a photographer. I guess, how do you stay sane with both of those things? How does that work for you?
Well, that's easy. because photography keeps me sane. It's actually
Love
my
it.
outlet. It's always been my outlet, and this is one of the reasons why I'm still just part-time at it. It's because photography for me is getting outside. It's going to the lakeshore. It's taking a traveling somewhere exotic, not exotic, I guess, like a national park or something, somewhere beautiful. And it's what keeps me balanced, I guess, because working full time and dealing with people all the time, and it can be challenging, especially this year or this last year when you can't just be on the road so much meeting with people because it's not allowed. But with that said, when I'm done with work, I try and kind of shut it off, and my outlet was always going out, taking a hike, bringing the camera, and that's how I learned how to use the camera, was just going places and bringing it. It kind of goes back to the phone thing. The best camera that you have is the camera that you have with you.
Yes.
And so if you don't have your camera with you, you're going to miss on some opportunities. So I almost always have my camera with me, or at least in the car.
How often are you out shooting?
I used to go out almost every day, and now it's not quite as much. I'm a little bit more selective on days. Like, for example, right now I'm looking out at the sky and it's really gray. It's a January day in Michigan, West Michigan in particular. We get the clouds off of Lake Michigan. There's no snow, there's no sunset probably tonight, so I'm not going to go out tonight. But if there's a shot at a sunset or even clear skies for night photography, as long as the weather's not too crazy, I will go out. With that said, if the weather's really crazy in the summertime with big storms or something like that coming out, I'm racing to the lakeshore as quickly as I can so I can grab those clouds coming over.
Well, actually, I want to say there's nothing more boring, but I'll stay with that. There's nothing more boring than just a flat gray day in the Midwest. I mean, I grew up in Ohio, which is not that far away, and we were close to Lake Erie, and the lake, you get some gorgeous sunsets, you get a lot of great detail with the occasional wind that blows a wave in. It's not like there's any monster surf. But when it's gray and it's just flat, what are some of the challenges you've dealt with when you've gone out and you needed to change your perspective and it wasn't as great a day as it's as you hoped would it be? I mean, one of the things that so many landscape photographers talk about is that I was in the middle of the Grand Tetons and it was supposed to be beautiful, and then we wound up with this blizzard. And yet, out of that blizzard, we've seen some incredible images because they just had to adapt. Are there some things that you've hit this early in your career that you had to, well, the expression these days says you had to pivot?
It's funny you mentioned the Grand Tetons because I was there last summer, and the week after we got back, it was all covered with smoke. So we kind of lucked out there. But going back to your point, on a day like this, if I really want to get out there, I would probably go towards the city where you can do some building shots. You're just going to clip out that sky. So it doesn't always have to be a part of the picture. With a landscape guy, obviously the sky is generally going to be one of the biggest things that you're focused on, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Or I could do some macro shots, or fun shots like that. I guess being fairly new at it, I'm still have that curiosity, and I'm still trying to do new techniques or learn new things. And generally, the way that I do that is just by going out there and playing around with the lenses and the camera and see what I can come up with.
I mean, I mentioned in the beginning that you're kind of in a pandemic perfect specialty being outdoors and landscape. But I'm betting that there are still some challenges. Are there some challenges that you've run into, even through the pandemic and being outdoors that were, less than fun to deal with, and how did you deal with them?
Well, I mean, some places are just closed. For example, I was at Zion earlier this year, and Angel's Landing was closed. I wasn't sure whether I was going to do that hike or not, but obviously, certain trails are closed or certain restaurants are closed, so the travel's a little bit more challenging. But throughout this whole thing, especially since I am an predominantly outdoor landscape guy, I try and err on the side of caution rather than fear. So I'm not going to let it stop me from going out and taking a hike or going to the lake or whatever, because I'm usually by myself or with, one person that I'm close to. So that's kind of how I beat that. But on the flip side, I'm not shooting weddings. I'm not shooting events where those people have been really affected in a bad way because they don't have work. So I, in a certain sense, I guess I kind of lucked out that what I like to do and what I do photography wise, it hasn't really been influenced as much as the others.
And, one of the great things about Michigan, and I know this is true for other states as well, is that during the pandemic, we were still able to go outside and get exercise or stay sane. I know that kept me sane, getting outdoors. And so it is so cool that you made the most of 2020. I know, like you said, a lot of people struggled, especially wedding photographers, countless other people. But man, you got some cool images out of 2020. And I would love to talk more about the photo from Little Sable Point Light. I hope I said that right. Little Sable Point Light, Michigan, which I've never been there. I'm going to have to visit now.
I've heard Sable. I've heard Sable. I've heard it a few different ways. So.
And I'll probably say it multiple ways during this interview. But can you tell us, let's dig into that image. Can you tell us about the backstory, how you got the image? How long did it take you to get it? And also talk about the Tamron lenses that you used and why.
That was a fun one for me. Basically what happened was the comet Neowise was out last summer, as you probably remember. Mm-hmm. The night before I went to Ludington, which is a little bit further north than this particular lighthouse we're talking about. And that was the first night that I got Neowise. And it was really neat. I've called myself in the past a photo opportunist. I'll kind of go shoot whatever. And I'm not necessarily chasing comets because they don't come around all the time. But it was out there in the sky and it was cool. And I love doing night photography. So long story short, after that first night of catching it in Ludington, I thought it was really neat, and we had clear skies again, so I wanted to go catch it at a different lighthouse. The reason that I wanted to do it at a lighthouse is because I always like to have something else in my image. I don't care for shots that are just the sky or just very plain. I like to have something in the picture, such as here in West Michigan, we have a lot of cool lighthouses. So I decided to use that because it kind of sets up a scale. Or size, I guess. Now, with that image, what happened was I did go over there. I went onto the dune where I had the right angle towards Neowise, and I used the Tamron 28-75, which was actually, I think, one of my first times using that lens for astro, because normally I'm using a wider lens. But I really wanted to bring that lighthouse in it to show the size of the comet itself, and it was working very, very well. So I had some shots I was very happy with. I ended up walking all the way to the north side of the lighthouse to face south, so I was going to just take a few Milky Way shots while I was there. And I turned around, and I knew that there was a slight chance that the northern lights might show up, but I turned around and I looked, and I saw there's just a little bit of a glow in the sky, and sure enough, it was the northern lights. So I scurried all the way back up to the dune. For those of you not in Michigan, the sand is not exactly fun to walk in all the time. But nonetheless, I went back up the dune because you just never know how long the northern lights are going to stay in the sky. Especially in Michigan, we don't get them all that often. So I was up there. I got the shot. I got several, actually. And then there's some other people up there that didn't really know how to do astro. And I helped them out just because it's kind of fun to do. And I wanted to make sure, I knew it was a special moment. So I just wanted to make sure that they had something to kind of a keepsake as well. And I actually proceeded to shoot at Neowise the next couple nights as well at different areas because it was still clear skies. And it's just something kind of fun to shoot. So that's how that came about.
Well, it's a pretty remarkable shot. And the fact that it's a 25-second exposure. What do you use for – what are the gear did you have with you? Tripod, for example.
The tripod was a Sirii, which I use because I think it's Sirii or Sirii. I don't remember how to say it right. But it's a travel tripod. I like to travel light. And I use just a trigger remote, just a cheapie. and a Sony A7 R2, which I bought. That's my full frame. I bought that because it's got a really good night sensor. And it's actually kind of funny that you had mentioned 25 seconds, because sometimes I know the Astro guys out there will absolutely cringe, because with the focal length that I believe it was about 43, it's a little bit longer than what I should have done. But the reason I did that was because I really wanted to draw out that green aurora. And unfortunately, there isn't really much tracing on those stars. So I'm very pleased with how it turned out. So it all kind of worked out just right.
Well, I know we're almost out of time, and Shamira's got her favorite closing question, but I got one more for you. If you would looked in the crystal ball and said, "All right, here's the future. What do you want your future as an artist to look like? Oh, 3 to 5 years from now."
So that's kind of a loaded question. The further I dive into this industry or just doing this photography, the more I'm thinking about transitioning to doing it more as my full-time job. On the flip side, I don't want to just do that because I don't want to lose my passion for it. With that said, I guess I could see myself just keeping on what I'm doing now and putting myself out there. Making sure that I still enjoy it, because if I don't enjoy it, what's the point in doing it? And whatever happens, kind of happens. But I can see myself furthering my career in the photo world.
Well, it's interesting because people don't realize it, but, and this has gone on for years. I know that a lot of full-time professionals think that there are more part-time photographers than ever before. I don't know that it's honestly any different today than it was 10, 20 years ago. 50% of the industry, especially in the wedding portrait side, has always been made up of what we used to call weekend warriors. And it's because the wedding industry lended itself so naturally, for example, to teachers who were off for the summer, which used to be your biggest wedding season. Now weddings are taking place all year long. Of course, for the moment, because of the pandemic, there's a lot of events and things that have been put on hold, but that'll all eventually come back. So the one comment that somebody gave me years ago is that you never want to look at full time until you can afford not to. And you've got a nice balance right now. You've got a great career in sales. You're learning things in sales, just in terms of your style, that have given you what you need to build relationships in photography, like we talked about a little while ago. And it's just kind of the best of all worlds. So we're gonna have fun following your career going forward, and your images. And in the link for the post, both last Tuesday's post and the one that this podcast will air on, everybody go take a look at Nick's Instagram pages. And you've got some images that only drew a couple of hundred, but then you've got other images that have gotten, 1,800, 2,000 likes. And you see a trend there of just, your love for the sport. It's right there.
Instagram's been fun. It's opened a lot of doors as far as this is concerned. Social media, especially. It's just a different world out there with all this social media and being able to. I pretty much consider that my gallery. It's just the easiest way to. If someone's like, "What do you shoot?" I'll say, "Just go to irwin.nick and check it out," and they do, and then they can just see everything that's out there for the last couple of years.
Your
Good
work
stuff.
is it's beautiful. I'm scrolling through your Instagram. Well, I've been doing that the whole time we've been recording. It's awesome.
Thank
Oh,
you.
so I'm bummed that we're on our last question. Oh, this has just flown by. So, what advice do you have for photographers just starting out right now, Nick? If someone came up to you and said, "I'm just starting, what should I be doing or focusing on, or how do I stay passionate for the craft?" What would you tell them?
This question actually does come up quite often, and the first thing I tell them is, don't be afraid to shoot on auto mode. And the reason that I say that is because if you don't shoot on auto mode and you try and if you think that you have to shoot on manual to become a real photographer, you're going to get really frustrated and that camera's going to go and sit on the shelf and never be used again. Now, but I'd say, you know, don't rely on that in the long run. If you shoot on an automatic mode, take a look at it. Look at the settings and try and figure out why it's doing what it's doing. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to watch some YouTube videos or just play around with it. But, you know, don't feel like you have to go out there and become an expert on every little technique all at once, because then you're just going to get frustrated and you're it's just kind of going to go away like some hobby that you don't care for anymore that we've all had in the past. So that's my biggest piece of advice. But the second one is just to be out there and have fun with it. And if you don't enjoy it, then is it really worth it? So that's kind of what I'd like to say to those people.
Well, you're the first person that's ever talked about shooting in auto and using it as a learning tool, which I think is a really great idea, because I have to tell you, when you said that, I cringed just a little bit.
Yep.
Because we like to think that everybody is out there and they understand the rules. Don Blair used to say, you don't get to break the rules until you know them first. And there's no question that shooting in P mode or shooting auto gives you some great results. But you're right about, you know, how do you keep fueling the passion? And you have to start to see some results, but then being able to look at what you did to understand it better becomes a very cool way to use that feature on a camera.
Yeah, that's definitely key. I don't shoot in auto hardly ever anymore, obviously. But I just don't think there's anything wrong with it for someone that's just trying to start out, because otherwise I just would hate to see them kind of lose their interest in it because they're frustrated. Because it's photography to in a certain sense is very simple, but it's very complex at the same time. And you being in the industry for so long know that. So it's just one of those ways that's kind of an unconventional way for me to tell these people that. But at the same time, I'm kind of unconventional myself because I completely self-taught. So that's I guess why I tell people that.
That's fantastic advice. Practical, fantastic advice. Very cool. Very cool. I know we've mentioned it here and there throughout this interview, but once again, Nick, where can folks check you out online?
My Instagram page is irwin.nick, which is at IRWIN, just the dot NICK. On Facebook, it's Nick Irwin Images, so NICKIRWIN Images. And then my website is nickirwinimages.com.
Awesome. Awesome. And Skip, I always want to make sure to ask, where can folks hunt you down?
And I always have the same answer, even in 2021. It's everything that I write every day is shared on skipcohenuniversity.com. My Facebook is Skip Cohen. My Twitter handle is Skip Cohen. And we always want to get feedback from our listeners. And my email is skip@mei500.com. And Shamira, where do they go to find you?
Folks can send me an email at shamira@shamirastudios.com. So that's my first name, CHAMIRA@shamirastudios.com. We love getting feedback. We love hearing from our listeners. We love getting ideas, because that helps us move forward with the show and helps us shape the show. And man, every single one of these that we do is just, it's so inspiring. And after talking to you, Nick, I am literally like itching to go up and down the coast of, I'm on Lake Huron. Like, so we've got our own set of lighthouses over here. And it's like, I need to get out and shoot those and take advantage, because just looking at your work, it truly is inspiring. And we so appreciate you just chatting and chilling with us today. Thank you, Nick.
You know, one last thing is, since you had mentioned the inspiring thing, one of the biggest compliments I've ever had was a woman sent me a message because I had written I wrote a caption about how I like to dream in reality, which is a mantra I like to live by. And she said that she was so inspired by my words and my photos that she was 80 years old and using a walker, and I inspired her to go out and explore the thumb of Michigan, taking photos the whole time. And to me, that was the ultimate, it was the ultimate compliment that I was able to, with my photos and my words, be able to inspire someone to actually do that. And I actually sent her a print that says Dream in Reality on it. And so that was really neat. And it's something, it's things like that that really keep me passionate about doing what I do.
That is so cool. There is no higher
Well,
compliment, man.
this is a really fun time in the history of imaging because the pandemic has buried that passion for so many artists, but underneath the challenges and the stress of earning a living, feeding your family, keeping your business going. And that love for the craft that you're sharing right now is just, that's the perfect medicine that we all need right now. And it doesn't matter what side of the camera or what part of this industry you're on, there is so much responsibility that we all share to keep creating great images and sharing them and capturing, as sappy as it sounds, those memories for clients and the people that follow us. So that was good stuff.
And we want to thank our listeners for joining us as well on this episode of Tamron Recipes, brought to you by Tamron USA and Skip Cohen University. Let's go out and make 2021 awesome for all of us.